I hope everyone is enjoying this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I didn't come into the Worldwide Church and or the Radio Church or that kind of thing. I ended up being in the United after some years, but I've had, you know, members of Worldwide that's been around for many, many decades, and they would talk about Herbert saying, "Why are we here? Why are we here?" And so I want to take a little time to look into why we are here, because God is preparing us. You know, they preach everlasting life and the resurrection, but that's kind of where it ends. And the thing is that you can have everlasting life, but it sure be boring if you didn't have nothing to do with yourself. I mean, you know, you got to have a reason to live and a purpose, a work. And so I want to kind of sneak into looking at this future that God has a plan for us in His kingdom. And I'd like to start off with Isaiah 55:8, where the Lord is telling him, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I can say, praise the Lord and hallelujah, because we are here. The whole world is here because God is nothing like us. And He's suffered with all of our failings and had to deal with us and Israel and all the things that's pretty much has grieved Him for many, many centuries, because His mercy is forever. And we're going to become part of it. And if we go to Matthew 19:23, you know, Jesus was inviting a rich man to, you know, give up everything and come and follow him. And he, you know, he was disappointed. He went away. And, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, "Surely I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And if you look in Luke 1:31, chapter 1, verse 34, you know, the angel was talking to Mary and telling her she was going to give birth to Jesus. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." And when Jesus started his ministry, he was out teaching, traveling, teaching in the synagogues. And in Matthew 9:35, you know, it's written, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, he sacrificed himself so that we may be forgiven and be able to come before God and actually go into his kingdom. And in Revelation 5:9, they said, they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." We're starting to see what the plan is that God has for us. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit on with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, he has given us a Holy Spirit. And through this Holy Spirit, the Spirit from God, we are able to start to understand the mind of God and what his thoughts are, and what his ways are. We're being converted from being just a human in this world to a child of God. And because we're being converted, he has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for us in his kingdom. And we have a work in the future. And when Christ was giving his parables, and he talked about the parables of talents, when he got down to the end of the parable in Matthew 25:20, he said, "So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them.' And the Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" We have this few things that we have to be faithful in, but we're going to be given more. And in another parable in Luke 19:16, his servants came that had been given money to earn, and when they came first saying, "Master, your mina has earned 10 minas, and he said to him, "Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, you have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise, he said to him, "You also will be over 5 cities. So we're looking at becoming kings and priests to the Lord, to work for him under the authority of our Christ. But we also have to remember this world is completely opposite of what God is. It's completely contrary. So when we think of ourselves within our own head, you can visualize a king sitting on a throne, and you're thinking the wrong thing. The same as a priest. And you say, there's a priest, and the priest is in this robe, and he's running around. And these things that from the world are not what the truth is, not in God's kingdom. So Matthew 20:25, Jesus was explaining to them. But Jesus said to them, to himself, and said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Our concept of rulership has to be adjusted severely. We may be kings and priests, but our duties are not anything like a king or a priest on this earth is. And of course, we just got done having our Passover service. And you remember from John 13:13, as Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. But if then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, as a servant is not greater than his master, nor he who is sent greater than he who sent them. But if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So each year we wash each other's feet. It's to remind us what a king in his kingdom does, not a king in this kingdom. And Jesus said in 19:14, he says, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And he said again in Matthew 18:3, he says, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Our attitude is being changed through the Holy Spirit. And we got to refocus because our thoughts are starting to become like His thoughts. Our ways are becoming like His ways through the Spirit working in us. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's what a true king and a true priest is there to heal and to bring the truth, to help, to lift up those who are fallen. And we're becoming like Christ, and we need to understand how we'll operate in the future. And you can read back in Deuteronomy 4:12. And it says, the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire, and you heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. And so he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. That voice that came out that you couldn't see his form, but you heard his voice, and he gave you the way to be. And if you go back to Isaiah, in the future for us, in Isaiah 30, 21, it says, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Our purpose is to be those workers that are going to harvest. We have a first resurrection, but there's more to come after this. And a kingdom. And a teaching. And a healing. Much work. Very much work. You know, it's written that we haven't seen or heard or even have in our wildest imagination what God has in store for us. But it's all good. It's all for good. It's all for the good of the entirety of mankind. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And we're going to help make all things possible. So in Revelation 22, 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water, life, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more light there. There's no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's why we're here. We're here for a future. A future to make all things possible. And that possibility, of course, is the whole reason this whole creation exists. And that's all those people out there that are wandering around right now wearing little rabbit ears, looking for eggs, completely oblivious to what we're doing, have no idea. They might read it, but it doesn't click. It's not there. Jesus said, you know, for us is for us to know, but for them, no. They're not going to know. They'll know in the future. But that's the reason why we're here, for that future.